I'm here really to answer your questions that you may have of me. I thought I would give you a summary or précis of what we did at the orientation I had in New Jersey with Metropolitan Philip. I have to say that when I went there, it was all very well organized, and he had an agenda that we followed very scrupulously. And I was glad of that. It was a day and a half, and it couldn't have been more gracious to be in his presence and understand what his overall vision for the church was and his ability to talk on so many levels to everyone. He's still very much engaged in the diocese, a very disciplined schedule himself. And we fit in that schedule. And I was reminded of chapter 9, I believe, verse 27 of 1 Corinthians. It says, I become all things to all men, so that by all means I may save some. And Metropolitan Philip really showed that personally to us when we were there. And it was a great honor to be with him. He did give me my duties as an auxiliary bishop, so I'd like to go over them with you. What is expected of the auxiliary bishop? We are allowed to make subdeacons, elevate priests, accept archimandrites, approve parish councils, appoint diocesan advisors for lay organizations, solve various problems in the parish, review priest stipends and packages before they arrive, if possible. Visit every parish of the diocese at least annually. I plan to try to do that at your invitation. There are 49 churches in 52 weeks, but I'm going to throw myself completely into that with joy. I may tell you, too, that it's a great honor to be with you as your potential bishop, your bishop-elect, and whatever you need me to understand about your parishes, I hope I'm open to that, and I will do and help you in whatever you need. It's an honor to have you today, to have you drive here. I know what it's like being a parish priest and making time for that. And I think modern priests today have to be more hands-on than they were before, because a lot of faith is subsidiary or auxiliary to the bishop or to the priest. And the more that we know the people, the better off we are, and they derive faith from our assurance and security. So I know that being at your church is very important. But I'll get along to the vision of the bishop's place, and I think you probably know this, but as I have become more aware of my role, I realize the importance of the conferences and the delegates' meetings and things like that, because that gives the bishop his place to be with the people. As you are with your people in the church, and as I have been with mine at St. John Chrysostom, the only way really to know people is to be in the same presence of them. Once there was that Metropolitan of Ephraim, of Lebanon, I don't know exact Tripoli, I believe, I'm not sure. But he said, he didn't say this, but I have to just say it a little in the way I do it. It's okay to be on Facebook, but it's better to be in your face. We have to really see that other person as an icon of Christ. And he made that so beautifully at the college, at the clergy conference the last time I remembered him. And I'm believing that the conferences we have are real important for a bishop to get a sensitivity about all the parishes in a direct way by preaching, by hearing the clergy preach, and all the things that Metropolitan Philip in his great wisdom has instituted over time. So I would like to revive as much as possible people's participation in conferences, conventions, parish life, conferences especially. And that way we also bind one another up into a communion as well. If the church is both Logos, the Word of God, and the Mystis, the mystery of God, and if the whole purpose is to present that one Christ to all people, so that they can enter into his eternal life through his body and blood, then it cannot be just isolated to the liturgy, and it cannot become a church event only. Because Eucharistos means thankfulness in all directions. And as St. John Chrysostom said, Therefore, we must go out into to have a social arm to the ecclesial, eschatological, otherworldly presence of the kingdom of God. And this is very important for all of us to meet as brothers and sisters and everyone in their churches. So I know it's expensive, and I've been thinking about this too. But the expense really is kind of another offering of the people to God within the convention setting. And not as a burden, but as an opportunity. These are my goals, and I hope to present them as such. And if you have any thoughts, please tell me about that. I veered off of my list. I'll get back to it. So I'm to visit every parish in the diocese at least once annually, make sure the archdiocesan policies and directives are being adhered to and published in bulletins, ensure liturgical conformity to the archdiocesan practice, report important problems to the metropolitan, suggest transfers and appointment of clergy to the metropolitan, and he will be doing that. But we can make suggestions. We will bless clergy travel and vacations within the archdiocese, preside at parish life conferences, attend all archdiocesan conventions, synod meetings, and clergy symposia, and make sure that the clergy all have a new priest guide and follow it assiduously. Hold and attend diocesan meetings with clergy delegates, and etc., etc. So I think it's a pretty exhaustive list. But it's an attendant list. The auxiliary bishop will be an arm of the metropolitan to maintain unity within the diocese. And if I must also say, I think there's great wisdom in the maintenance of unity and a common message. Because if orthodoxy is the one true church, which is the fullest expression and complete expression in a Catholic way of the Catholic truth of the church, then there has to be an identifiable, secure, predictable presence of that unity within this country. And we must thank God in our archdiocese we do have this continuity and consistency over time because of very noble leadership thus far given us.